QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater, 147.330 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. All right, hearing none, are there any announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. Alrighty, got a couple announcements here. One of them is for everyone out there to remember that this upcoming Saturday is the club meeting, which was moved up a week to this upcoming Saturday to get it away from Memorial Day traffic. That's at the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club meeting at the Big Bear Lake Fire Station in Big Bear Lake. Also, we will be coming up with some more workshops this summer, so just pay attention, listen up, and we'll announce those when they're available.
Announcement?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks, Tom. This is KJ6KDK, and I just wanted to let everyone know that one of our favorite tech gurus, Leo Laporte, is starting a ham radio podcast called Ham Nation, all about ham radio, on his twit.tv network somewhere in this coming week, I think May 23rd or something like that.
Okay, well, Rosemary, thanks a bunch for that. That's fantastic. Yeah, and I know Leo Laporte's probably one of the many, but very close to the top of the list, of a short list of gurus for that. Glad to see he's in ham radio. And will you be able to let us know if you find out anything more about that?
Absolutely. I will let everyone know.
Okay, appreciate that. Are there any other announcements out there? Please come back to KF6Q.
Copy LCS.
Yeah, K6LCS, got a good copy on you, Quint.
Yeah, I'll be a guest on that show. Bob Heil and I are putting together some stuff. Gordon West is going to get Leo's license and give a not-right call ham radio officer. Joe Walsh is cutting some intro music for us for the podcast. So we're going to have a great K6LCS.
Well, that sounds like that's going to be pretty cool there, Joe Walsh. There's a name I haven't heard in a long time. All right, Quint, well, you're there solid, but getting a little picket fencing there, so wherever you're at, I'm sure it'll be better as soon as you get through there. So, all right, good deal. Maybe you can expand on that a little bit later on, too, on the HamSat part of our TechNet. All righty, let me break 1 second. Are there any other announcements out there? Please come back. Alrighty, topic for the evening, this evening will be, we're going to go over a couple things on our ARR Field Day that's coming up. It's about a month away, and how some of the things that we've been talking here on Tech Tuesday, how they'll kind of help apply there, so, and get a couple other old planning things out there too. So possibly, I know we were going to talk about EMP this month. We just haven't made it around to that, but we're going to try and coordinate that with the stormy weather coming up this summer. Thunderstorms, lightning strikes, things like that kind of fall in suit with the EMP, so we'll probably put it on about then. So, alrighty, let me break real quick. Alrighty, well, let's go ahead. We're going to get started here with our excuse me here. We'll get started here with our list. And let's see, at the top of the list, I have WB6CLZ. Are you out there?
You certainly are, Tom. Standing by for an exciting Tech Tuesday. Field Day is one of my best favorite subjects.
Okay, Mike, and, I think the preamble here, I grabbed the wrong paper. If you saw what I have to deal with here, you'd probably laugh. All right, anyway, WB6CIN, Cindy, are you out there?
Yes, I am, Tom. This is WB6CIN, standing by.
Oh, glad to have you with us. How about KA6CIA, George, down there in Lucerne Valley? I'll bet it's sunny there.
Yeah, you're right. It is sunny here, but still a little bit windy, but not bad. KA6CIA.
Okay, George, yeah, we're kind of socked in solid clouds and fog up here. It's moving through. Anyway, how about KE6RJ, Harry, and KE6QI, Nancy?
Good evening, Tom and the net, KE6RJ, KE6QI, and Sugarloaf, and thanks, Tom, for bringing up that subject or talking about the field day. I downloaded, like anybody else can, from the ARRL website, the Field Day kit, which is a 40-page document and very informative of what it's all about and how to rack up points. So anyway, I have a good night, and we'll be in the listening mode. K6RG.
Okay, Harry, appreciate that. Got you and Nancy checked in here, and don't know if he's out there this evening. Sometimes he joins us a little bit later. How about AF6ZJ in Rosemont? Nothing heard there. Don't know if he was trying to get in there or not. How about KI6FKN? Chris, are you back on the hill? And nothing heard there. How about KJ6HZS, Mike in Fonskin?
Good evening, Tom. The net is KJ6HZS. Check it in.
Okay there, Chris. And I know I got your dad's call sign here somewhere. That's just kind of a little bit unorganized this evening. I have to apologize for that. But we'll get... If your dad's listening out there, we got him as a courtesy check-in. Not a problem. How about KJ6FIL, Mike?
This is KJ6FIL. Good evening, everybody. And you just called Mike HZS Chris. So get it together there, Tom. KJ6FIL, I'm listening.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Yeah. Okay, I'll get it right here. Anyway, alrighty, how about KF6VH? Bob, are you out there? And nothing heard. How about KJ6KDL, Jim, and KJ6KDK, Rosemary?
Yeah, absolutely. We are both here, KJ6KDL and KDK.
Okay, Roger that. Don't know if he's up. W6GZI, Frank.
Good evening. This is W6GZI.
All right. Well, Frank, glad to have you out there listening. Appreciate that. KI6IQA, Kelly.
Good evening to all. KI6IQA.
Roger that. Good to have you out there. And K9AOG, Steve, from Long Beach, are you out there? And nothing heard. K6GVL, Ron, Green Valley. And nothing heard. AD6PL, Harold.
Good evening. Get your snow shovel ready. KJ6PL.
All right, Harold, glad to have you out there. And let's see, moving on down here, W6AWL. Art, are you out there? And nothing heard there. How about W6JLM, Judith Sugarloaf? And nothing heard. W6KMM, Ken in Sugarloaf. Nothing heard. KI6OHN, John, are you out there? And nothing heard. Let's see, moving down here. K6YNW, Chris.
Good evening, everyone. K6YNW.
Glad to hear you out there, Chris. I was wondering if I was getting out there for a minute. Let's see here. Moving on down here, W6KVC, Gary. Nothing heard. KD6LAN, Bill, Boulder Bay. And nothing heard. Out there, mobile, K6LCS, Clint.
K6LCS, man, I've lived here my entire life. And you're calling some names of cities I've never heard of before. K6LCS.
Okay. I'll try to email those and update you there a little bit. How about WB6PBZ? Ray, are you out at your shack? And nothing heard. How about KJ6BCK Adam and Garden Grove? And nothing heard. AE6CK, Victor. And nothing heard. KE6VHM, Frank. Nothing heard. I think Rod's KA6ROD, Rod. Are you back from vacation yet? Nothing heard. KJ6DBS Leon, Arrow Bearer. And nothing heard. KB6LTY Christy, Apple Valley.
Good evening, Tom and the Net, KB6LTY.
Hey, Christy, glad to have you out there this evening. And let's see, AE6TV, Hans.
Good evening, Tom, and everybody on that. AE6TV, Grand Terrace.
Okay, Hans, glad to have you with us this evening from Grand Terrace. And let's see here. How about NQ7RD? Rick from Corona, are you out there?
This is Rick in Corona. Good evening, one and all, here on the net. And, Tom, how's this radio sounding? I pulled this dual band out of my vehicle and probably can use it as a base.
Oh, Rick sounds perfectly fine, hitting the repeater real solid, sounding good this evening. Not a problem. And glad to have you with us. Let's see here. I have a couple more on here, but they don't normally check in. Let's see. KJ6ILX, Scott. Sorry, if I've missed your name, I'm sorry. Please come back in here. And check in now, or if you're a visitor, please call in. We'll write you down. Come back to AF6Q.
CJ.
AF6CJ. Hey, guy. Glad to have you out there, and I love that email on the road rage. Very funny with the elephant. Anybody else out there, please come back.
LAN.
There he is. Hello, Bill. Glad to have you out there. Anybody else? All right, anybody else wanting to check in at any point in time, feel free to do so. And as always, it's a directed net, but we leave it open for questions and topics and discussion. So feel free to jump in there if you have a question or a suggestion. Anyway, Mike, WB6CLZ, Zebra, Zulu, what's happening out there in the DX world?
Hey, well, here's my identifier. Well, I missed one. Okay. Basically, I sent CQDX from WB6CLZ and go ahead. But I screwed up the Z. Anyway, well, Space Weather is reporting 63 sunspots, 63 meager sunspots right now. We're not doing very well. But for not doing very well, just before net, I tuned around and I didn't work him, but I probably could have. He was pretty loud. He was 5.9 plus. Very good signal here in Placentia. VK2 in Australia. This morning, I heard, but I did not work. Charlie Oscar 8 Lima Yankee in Cuba, Eduardo. I've worked him before. That's not a big feat. You know, normally conditions on 17 meters are such where you can work into Cuba. And over the weekend, 6 meters was hopping a little bit, not for very long. I had about a 2 or 3 minute QSO with a station in Nebraska, which for 6 meters, that's probably sporadic E layer inversion propagation. In other words, we're bouncing signals, single skip or double skip, double hop, off the ionosphere, off the E layer in the ionosphere. Happens pretty much on 6 meters this time of the year into the early spring and summer. A lot of that propagation. And all you techs out there, you have that in that single sideband on 6 meters. Okay, Tom, that's about all I got for you. Let's see if anybody else has something that's cooking with DX. That's WB6CLZ.
Okay, Mike, appreciate that. Sounds like things are still active out there. Anyway, anybody else? I don't know if Chris is with us this evening. Anybody else out there? Any comments or experiences past week here with DX? That would be anything with ham radio out there, hopefully at least 1,000 miles away or 5 or 6,000, whatever you're doing. It's all DX. Please come back.
Kilo 6, Romeo, Bravo, Sierra.
Yeah, Romeo, Bravo, Sierra. How you doing out there? And Mike, maybe jot that call sign down. Go ahead.
I guess I'm DX, K6RBS from Mission Viejo. Name is Richard. And the DX tip for tonight is the Eastern Kiribati is on 28460. Very workable at the moment. 28460, K6RBS. Name is Richard.
Okay, Richard, appreciate that. Thanks for that little input there. Anybody else out there? Marty, Quint, I don't know if you're in a good area out there for our ham satellite report. K6LCS, you ready to go ahead? KF6Q.
I'm back in the Rack County. Do you copy me all right? This is K6LCS.
Oh, good, strong copy. Go ahead.
That's a nice receive section on the repeater. A couple notes. I don't know if you heard me. I was in Diamond Bar in the Hills, Diamond Bar, but the Leo Laporte Network is going to have the ham podcast, video podcast, and Bob Heil and I did some video tests back and forth night before last, and Heil has a new mic out for us. I'm not selling them or anything, but I'm using a PR40, which is too expensive to rationalize. But he's got a $75 retail mic coming out, the PR12. I'll have one in my hands tomorrow I'm going to play with and see. But if it's as good as the Heil stuff in the past, this might be a very exciting mic at a very good price point. Break for a sec. And Leo Laporte is not a ham yet, but we're getting together with Gordon West to inundate him with the tech exam as soon as we can, one of these weekends, and get Leo Laporte his ham license. So it's going to be a fun group. Joe Walsh is doing some intro music for us for the intro of the podcast, and it's going to be great. With the distribution network that Leo Laporte has, this is going to be a great for ham radio. Now, on the other side of greatness, we have the the deterioration of AO51 of our favorite old FM satellites. Break for a second. AO51's been up there for 6 years, and its batteries are deteriorating to the point of once we load the software into it and it goes to eclipse and out of the sunlight, it dies and resets itself, and then we have to reload it again. And it's entirely a battery situation. Break for a second. Those of you who have been doing this for 3 or 4 or 5 years or more, remember AO16 died, was written off. But then about a year and a half later, it came back for us for a few months. So don't take the programming out for AO51 on your machines yet. We have control operators here on the West Coast and the East Coast who are trying to get it on for the popular time of day passes for us here in North America. Break for a second. We still have 27, 50, the ISS, number 67 is still not on as often over North America as we'd like, and the Chinese delegation with their HO-68 will be at Dayton, and we'll see what they're going to do for us. They have not had that satellite on for us over North America for several weeks. We're going to see what them showing up at Dayton is promising. We'll see what happens. Break for a sec. I want to thank the Yucaipa Valley Amateur Radio Club. I was warmly welcomed there last night for the satellite show. And tomorrow night, I'm giving it in Palos Verdes, and Thursday night in West Coast Amateur Radio Club, and I believe that's Huntington Beach area. You can go on my website and see, but everybody's always welcome to attend and go through my bad jokes there for an hour. And Tom, that's about all I have, unless anybody has any questions. Oh, please make sure you check the control operator pages, especially right now for AO51, because right now it's in it's in VHF-UHF mode, but mode J, so the frequencies are different than what is normal. So make sure you check the control op pages, and if you just go to k6lcs.com, there's links directly to the satellite control operator pages for you to find out the latest and greatest on the birds. That's all I've got, Tom, k6lcs.
Well, hey, Quinn, appreciate that, and always love the input out there. Is there anybody out there that has any questions for Quint while he's standing by? All right, hearing none out there, Quint. Anyway, good little point there. As we're talking about field day and some of the different things as we have been working on in the past here to apply towards field day. Doing a satellite contact, a VHF satellite contact, one and one only is all you're qualified to get, racks up 100 points. For field day. So that's kind of neat. We, Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, Umwa, did that last year with the help of WB6CLZ as a logger. Also had WB6PBZ also out there helping me log. So just to keep things straight. Anyway, well, Mike, WB6CLZ, what did we find out? We've been looking at some of the logging software, and that's probably one of the newer things that's we're looking at as a club this year, but have you had a chance to actually go through any of this stuff? I know we're trying to come up with a decision there. Back to you real quick, Mike.
Tom, this is WB6CLZ. Well, right now, from where I stand, we're kind of mired. We were kind of, Cliff, Harry, and Bill, and myself were emailing back and forth. Lately, it's been Cliff and myself. We looked at several different types of software. One was considered general consensus too complicated. That's the November 1 Mike and 1MM software. And that was tabled. So we started working on what's called Squirrel software, SQUIRL field. real day logger. Very simple, but unfortunately, last time I have heard, we haven't been able to, we've been able to retrieve data from the software, but we haven't been able to load updated data in. For instance, if we're logging at a station and another person wants to bring their computer in and set it down and use the station with their computer, that would be an issue at this time. The way it's set up, we would have to use a stationary computer that would stay at each particular station throughout field day, unless we can come out with a way of exchanging information so we don't have dupes, so we can download it and it will all be in one package. And that's about where we're at. Back to you, Tom, KS6Q, WB6CLZ, Tech Tuesday.
Yeah, KS6Q here with Tech Tuesday, 1900 hours every Tuesday on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. Mike, well, this is a question. I haven't really had a chance, been very, very busy at SQ, well, we'll just call it Squirrel. If the, and I know that you're not a computer guru per se, however, if you were to put a flash drive in your laptop, can you designate that, you know, as the drive that the log will go into? I'm just thinking if we had the computer set up that way, then simply swapping out that one flash drive would solve that issue that you're talking about there.
Myself, Tom, yeah, I've downloaded information into a flash drive. That's not the problem. That's simple, easy to do. The problem is, say we were exchanging computers, and you had the flash drive from the old computer putting it into the new computer. There's no easy way. The program is not set up to do that. It is just set up to operate one system, one band, although you can change bands, and not transfer information. You can download the information, but I can see no way to get it back into the program usefully.
Okay, roger that. Well, it may not have that capacity, so I'm not sure. I haven't looked at that. Possibly I can take a look at that prior to Saturday and see if there's a workaround. Could be a workaround on that. That'll help us, you know, go with that. Otherwise, I think we're kind of at a standstill. Is that what you're saying?
USL, I don't know if Cliff is listening tonight, but I spent a couple of days playing around with the program, and I emailed my findings over to Cliff, and he was kind of running through and checking it out, and so that's about where we're at. So as far as I'm concerned, we're at a standstill right now. And I'll try to email him and find out what he found, if anything. But, yeah, if there is a work through, that would be the ace in the hole, and that would maybe get this working.
Yeah, roger that. Well, that's one thing I like about what they call standalone programs. We've all gotten used to any program that you get or download or whatever installs, and that is a process where it literally is installed into that particular computer. Standalones are a lot better. It's reminiscent of the old DOS days, where basically a standalone program does not install. It simply is on your computer, you run it, and if you delete it, it's gone. If you just simply put it on a flash drive, you can run it from the flash drive. So, unfortunately, I do not believe that Squirrel is a standalone, and that would really be the most ideal situation. So, anyway, well, we'll see what else we can come up with. Anyway, Harry, I know you're out there, and it is a good-looking program there, and I guess the other option we would have, Mike, would be to, we'd still end up with dupes because we'll have it duplicating on different machines as different people take over. But I guess, has this been discussed on the 75-meter net?
Unfortunately, it has. I haven't been around that much. We've been busy and this and that, so I haven't really been privy to some of that. Basically, what I've been doing is just emailing back and forth with Harry, Bill, and Cliff. And the last couple of days, it's been Cliff and myself. So
I don't know what really has been discussed. We didn't really say anything or nothing was mentioned this morning on the net. It was just kind of a quick rag chew, and then everybody was gone. So, yeah, not really much going on. So that's basically where we're at.
Okay, roger that. Well, let me look into the squirrel thing. Let's see. This is Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm going to be tied up over the next 2 days, possibly by this weekend. I'll see if I can come up with a solution there, but it never hurts to try. Well, anyway, well, Mike, we're going to just kind of throw some topics out there. Now, you said that, which I don't have my issue of June QST, antenna height, are they speaking of dipoles?
Are mostly referring to Yagis, and they're calculating antenna height by the angle of the received signal. A lot of it's done by the transmitted signal, the radiation angle, but they're going another route and working through the angle of the received signal. It's kind of interesting. When you get your, it's a little complicated, a little bit over my head, but very interesting. When you get your issue of QST, if they ever work out that ARRL issue with you, yeah, it's kind of an interesting one. I didn't understand 50% of it, but I only just kind of scanned through it, but it is an interesting article.
Yeah, roger that. I think it was simply of removing the street address off of, I'm not even sure how that even got on there, just leaving the P.O. box on there, and that's, and now I guess they're going to come through, so have to see what happens. At least they put my membership back in, which I just did not understand that at all. you're not taking your magazine, so we're suspending you. So that was weird. Well, anyway, as far as basic field day stuff, working on what we did last year. Okay, Mike, we're going to set up a dipole. How high off the ground should it be?
It always depends on what frequency it is and what what you can do, obviously. A lot of times higher is better, but we have to take into consideration the angle of radiation.
Clever answer. Let me rephrase that. Okay. So, for the best angle of radiation, if we can not have a restriction of height, in other words, we can get it to the point in wavelengths, how high should it be?
I don't know. I would say either half wavelength, quarter wavelength, something like that, and the higher the better, as long as it is at a proper, you know, wavelength of the frequency you're transmitting on. How's that?
Fairly acceptable, but we were talking about this some time ago, probably a year ago. Anyway, for anybody out there listening, example would be, say, for a 20-meter antenna, quarter to half. You get much over a half-wave antenna for any band. I'm sorry, I don't mean to pick on 20 meters, for any band. If you are under a quarter wave, tends to shoot straight up. You get more vertical than you do out. If you get up to between a quarter to a half, then your launch angle is going to be dropping back down there. It's going to act a little more normal, and you'll DX a lot better. That's why a lot of 20-meter DX is happening out there, or 17. You don't have to be as high as you would be with 75 meters, 80 meters. Half a wave is what? 40 meters, 120 feet? That's a long way up. So obviously that's not attainable by a lot of us. Let me break real quick. And likewise, 10 meter, if you were simply running a dipole, halfway, 5 meters, 15 feet, very achievable. So. But I think a lot of us out there could be running some horizontal Yagis out there, single sideband. Be kind of cool. So, but anyway, Mike, as you can see, that's where it's obviously is we get in the lower frequencies. We just can't obtain that really sweet spot that we'd like to have. But the 20-meter and higher frequencies, yeah, pretty good. Any comments there?
Yeah, and then we did pretty well, though, on 40 and 80-meter CW. So contacts, you're just not getting as much DX. So for field day, which is basically an emergency preparedness activity anyway, we can still make an awful lot of contacts and be very competitive in that field with an antenna that's not quite perfect.
KL6Q here in the group with Tech Tuesday, every Tuesday, 1900 hours, conditions permitting, on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. Yeah, and that's true. Actually trying to get just possibly to the other side of the United States is really fantastic. You know, we're not trying to hit Europe in so much with this. And, yes, it's definitely an emergency preparedness drill, which has unfortunately turned into probably one of the greatest barbecue cookout ham parties overnight and contesting. So, but that just makes it all fun. Well, anyway, so Mike, let's see, this year, what band are you planning on operating on?
When I fill out my dream sheet, 10 meters is always my favorite band. 10 meters in the early to late afternoon is my favorite time and my favorite band. Unfortunately, I get stuck on 40-meter sideband or 15 meters or something like that, but that's okay. I still get to play 10 meters a little bit. We had a little pileup at the end of the field day last year, and it was kind of fun. I was actually handling a pileup from Southern California. So, yep, 10 meters, that's my band.
Yeah, roger that. Anybody who is listening out there who's not familiar with us in the Big Bear Valley, this year, once again, this will be, I believe, the third year in a row, at the Bear Mountain Ski Resort parking lot is where we set up late Friday afternoon, so that early Saturday morning. We're all set to go with all our gear, and if you're a ham out there, whether or not you're a member of the club, does not matter, come on out and pay a visit. And you can check out what's going on out there. It's a whole lot of fun. Basically, a lot of hams talking to hams and a whole lot of fun. Barbecues later on and stuff like that, you know, at least for the club members anyway. Haha, better not commit too much to our club there, supplying food. But anyway, and Mike, let's see, do we have any other people scheduled for any of the other bands, or are you in that loop?
Unfortunately, I missed the last meeting due to work constraints, but no, I'm not in that loop, and I haven't really heard much, but I don't know. We were really loosely scheduled last year. It would just kind of show up, and if you want to sit at a radio and somebody's tired, you can hop in. So I don't know what we're doing regarding that, but oh, yes, the food. I knew you would bring up the food. For anybody that's not a member, it's worth the $15 to join just for the dinner.
$15. I went and our membership dropped. $20. Anyway, but that's okay. Mike will put in the other extra $5 if you show up with $15. Correct, Mike?
No, that was a faux pas. No, we wouldn't do that. The $20. But if your spouse wants to join, it's an additional $5. How's that? That's the bargain.
Roger, roger. Whether or not she is a ham or not, that's okay. Which, there's a few of them out there. Anyway, so, well, fantastic. Well, Mike, I don't think there was anything really discussed much about field day other than as far as station assignments. Just a little discussion about, you know, logging software. Okay, and, you know, we have that coming up this Saturday, which you will be there, correct?
As long as I am above ground, I will be there. Yeah. One thing we should mention, too, is also, Tom, is if anybody's coming, get there early. Get there during the setup when we're putting antennas up and everything. I learned an awful lot last year about assembling beams, assembling delta loops, and things like that. So there's a lot to be learned in setup and also teardown.
Yeah, and roger that. As we're speaking about antennas, we talk a lot about antennas here on Tech Tuesday, you know, and it seems complex at first, and maybe the learning curve is a little steep for the newbies out there. But on ARRL Field Day, it's pretty awesome because in a matter of only a few hours, we may set up you know, four, five, six, seven different stations with separate antennas. Some of these are, you know, shot up into a, suspended from a tree. Some of them are suspended from mobile towers. And this all goes up, and then Sunday, right after field day is over, it all comes back down. So, yeah, no excuses on putting this stuff up and taking it back down because this all happens real fast. So pretty interesting. So, yeah, everybody out there with an excuse that why they haven't got that antenna up for the last year, well, guess what? We're going to do it in a day. Mike, anything else to add to that?
Not only are we going to do it in a day, but we're going to do it with some really cool stuff, like a little cannon, air cannon that shoots it up into the trees and all kinds of really cool and interesting stuff.
Yeah, roger that. You know, and there's a lot of different things we've used, and this is one, is extension ladders have been used in the past. Yes, an extension ladder fully extended up with feet well planted and possibly attached to a guardrail of some sort to stabilize it, and now you have an instant, well, it depends on the ladder, you know, 16 feet, 20 feet, 24 feet, or whatever, a good point up there to support your antenna. So that's kind of neat, and, you know, as things like that move forward, you'll find that, wow, never thought about that. And these would be things you would probably do if you were mobile in an emergency situation, setting up a ham station, who knows where, just some place where it had to be for emergency communication. So a lot of neat stuff. Anyway, out there, any questions out there, or put this out to the field, anybody with any ideas or questions, please come back. All right, hearing none, let's see if we got Jim out there in Rosemary. Jim, KJ6KDL, are you out there?
Roger, just reading the internet threads. Looks like Cam Nation is going to debut on the 24th on Twit next Tuesday, so it probably won't be ready to download until the next day on the 25th, right after our next Tech Tuesday.
Okay, roger that. Now, Jim, you're coming up on a year for your license, is that correct?
Yeah, beginning of August. I don't remember the exact weekend. I think it was the second weekend of August that we took our test.
Okay, roger that. Well, you know, a lot of the stuff we do on field day is, you know, in the HF bands, but like Mike was just saying, there are 6 meters, parts of 10 meters, but 6 meters is perfectly fine to protect licensees. And if you have a third-party person next to you to qualify for the, you know, HF bands, it's not a problem with you working those too. So all by regulation, of course, and keeping everything on the up and up. So kind of neat. Hope you and Rosemary come out that Saturday, even spend some time out there for the day. Anyway, Mike, that was the first field day for Cindy, WB6CIN. Is she out there? Does she want to comment on what she thought of her first field day?
She's out snarking around in the garage, I think. Here she comes in here, I think. She says, yeah. Well, maybe not. Let me go get her. Stand by. Would you like to make a comment on your first field day? Here's Cindy, WB6CIN.
Hi, this is Cindy, WB6CIN. I was so excited about going because I thought that we were going to be talking on radios and eating. That was my thought. But then when we got there, we had to set up the antennas, and I couldn't believe how much fun it was. The guys were just so nice to me, and BBL let me shoot the guns to shoot the lines over the trees, and I just got to join in on so much stuff, whether it be tying up the ropes or winding in things, or I bet I'm talking too much. Anyway, it was just so much fun because you got to be involved in everything. Set up, tear down, eating, talking on the radios. And for anyone that wants a lot of exercise, it's really fun. But I'll let you go back to Mike, WB6CIN, clear.
Hey, Tom, go ahead. She gets going on it, but she really had a good time. This is WB6CLZ.
Well, I think that the main thing that's great about Field Day, no matter what, it's the camaraderie with all the hams out there. Everybody does what they can and you know, pitches in to help with do what they can do, and in one way, shape, form, or another, you know, we just have all these ham stations that, you know, with the antennas and all the coax, you know, and all the different things and the power lines that get set up for all the power to all the different stations and the tables and, you know, all that. And, of course, the food. It's always good to have a barbecue or two going out there, something in the morning. You know, it was really great. I think last year we had Judith, WA6JLM, came out there with this excellent biscuits and gravy. Fantastic. And I know that this is just, we're talking about the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. There are many out there in the Southern California all doing the same thing. You'd be surprised. And it's always the last Saturday of the month. Starts Saturday morning, ends up Sunday morning for 24 hours straight. Mike, did I miss anything?
Probably, but I can't think of anything it would be. It's just a heck of a lot of fun. My first one when I was about 14 years old with the Fullerton Radio Club was a hoot. We used to go up on Skyline Drive and have telephone poles already set up where we would scurry up there and put our wire antennas, beam antennas. Yeah, heck of a lot of fun. So don't miss Field Day. If you can't do it with the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, there's clubs all around California, all around the United States that are doing the same thing, and it's a hoot. WB6CLZ.
Yeah, roger that. And I don't know, we have Guy out there in Rosemont, AF6ZJ out there in Rosemont. All right, do you have any other ham clubs out there, if you're out there?
Let's see. Just the Antelope Valley Club here. They usually over here at the Lancaster City Park. They usually set up their Field Day set up there. Back to you, Tom.
Oh, roger that. And I know that in the Inland Empire at Prado Park, right off of Euclid, and I can't think of, I think it's Central. Not sure of the cross street there, but a very, very huge park. And I know the Tri-County Amateur Radio Club generally has theirs there every year. Pretty neat. And a lot of these clubs have websites. So you go online, do a search, you'd be surprised. It could be one real close by. I know that there was another club down in Mile Square Park down there. I think that's Fountain Valley area. A whole lot of them around. But anyway, Mike, I know we were going to kind of just toss Field Day out there and get people enthused and excited about it. In closing for Tech Tuesday, anything else you'd like to add?
Comment.
Harold, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I want to throw in a little ad for Riverside's Field Day. It's going to be at Martha McLean Park on Harupa Avenue off of... best way is off of Van Buren. Go off of Van Buren, go east, and it'll be on the north side of the street there. Great big huge park. It was a state park. Apparently the city is going to take it over because the state no longer will support it. And you might, if you contact Claire Cessna, K6LG, you might find out what logging program they're using here in Riverside, and it might work for you. 86PL.
Okay, Harold, appreciate that. Yeah, I know where that park is. Actually, they just put the tunneled roof underneath that train tracks there here just, what, a couple of years ago. That was quite a project. And I think that park even goes all the way down by the Santa Ana River bottom. Is that correct?
It's on a cliff above the river, and the last 2 years at least they've run a huge inverted V off of the cliff down across the river, and been using that. It works really well.
Well, that's just simply awesome, and I guess as a general sense, if you didn't know where anybody was setting up for field day, start looking at all the public parks. If you see somebody out there with a bunch of wires and stuff, there's a good chance it's a radio amateur club out there, and probably meet some neat people out there. So, well, thanks, Carol. Appreciate that. And yeah, Mike, if you got any of that information, or maybe we get it later, to be some more input on the field logging software. So, anyway, anybody else out there? Any comments? Please come back.
From KLTY.
86 RG.
Hey, Christy, KB6LTY first, go ahead.
Thank you, Tom, KB6LTY. Yeah, I just got some info for you if you want to make some easy points. If you wanted to send a formal radiogram per NTS style to the Orange Section Manager, Carl, I know how you can do it. You can make 100 points. My husband, W6WW, is Orange Section Traffic Manager, and if you were to send a radiogram to him, you could do that. And also, for every radiogram you do send to anybody, which would have to have their call sign, name, address, and phone number. Well, I guess don't have to have a call sign. If they're not a ham, and you can get 10 points each, up to 100 points. And also, Victor Valley Amateur Radio Club will be having their field day down here in the San Bernardino County Fairgrounds. And that's about all I have at KB6LTY.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, Christy, maybe you could get some of that information to, you know, to us back at the club, and that'd be great, because we always use the points, of course. And it's a lot of fun doing all that stuff, so fantastic. All right, Harry, back to you. You were next in line. Go ahead, KE6RJ, KO6Q.
Thank you, Tom. KE6RJ, yes, you will. There is a web address. I can't put my finger on it right at this moment, but I'll have it in a few minutes, where we should... make an entry. That's the field day locator, and there is an address here. Here it is: arl.org/field-day-locator. And there we can be listed among the thousand others. Field clubs that where their field day is taking place. Okay, the other thing that I wanted to just mention here is that I just typed up a short email to the author of Squirrel, the field day logging software person, and I didn't get his name, but anyway, I clicked on the link email, and I wrote about our concern of files, saved files, contact files, that which, by the way, are in text format and can be easily imported into whatever ARL. Let me reset. Whatever needs to be submitted, and then I'm sure other clubs have the same concern, and I'm sure it was addressed, but I hope to have an answer from the Squirrel to see how that's going to work. Again, files from different computers combined and eliminating the dupes. I also said it would be nice if he could maybe talk to us briefly at our club meeting via Skype. Not Echolink, I mean, not Skype. Via Echolink, and I gave them the time of our club meeting, 18:30 hours on Saturday. So we'll see what happens. Back to you, Tom, K6RJ.
Yeah, you know, and one thing, Harry and Mike, I don't know if you've actually gone down this road, but I'll take a look at this myself. There's a lot of programs out there, even though they're installed, they will put their key file, whether it be a text file or whatever, in a specific spot, and by simply and, you know, with care, moving that file into the other computer in that same spot. A lot of times this isn't just common knowledge. Quite possibly the person who wrote the software would be able to at least explain it real simply. I know this can be done with a lot of virus checking software and scanners to update them without actually going online. But anyway, if you're going through the menus of a program, a lot of times you're not going to find it there. You know, so possibly this is, like I said, let me look at this. I have no doubt that he probably has this similar situation. Harry, if he emails you back, that'd be great. Please get back in touch with me or Mike or somebody. And I would say that we can pick up the ball and start running with it again. All righty, I'm going to send it back to Mike real quick. Anybody else, or before I do, I guess, for final, anybody else out there, any questions or suggestions, please come back.
KJ6KDL.
KDL, Jim, how you doing?
Okay, yeah, I was looking around at, I'm not familiar with the contest logging software, obviously, and I was looking around and there's quite a few programs out. If it gets down to a single install, if we're up to it, I could set up a computer and a router for RDP and have people to, remote connect to it with their computer when they do their session and just run that remote computer and log their files. We just have to make sure they save the files with their name and then figure out how to merge them later. Just an idea.
Yeah, you know what? I think there's actually some software out there, logging software, that's designed for that. I mean, it's almost plug and play, some of the stuff I looked through. But, yeah, it's probably possible to a large degree, and maybe you could bring that up, you know, at the club meeting Saturday and see what happens and see what they think. But, yeah, I think a lot of it... it's a lot of people coming and going with different laptops or possibly some with no laptops. And we're going to probably have some papers that are going to have to be still entered. But that's a good suggestion. I think that's excellent. That's actually, I think, probably one of the best ways. At least that way they're all stored in one spot. And that spot could be inside one of the motorhomes that's out there. Back to you real quick, Jim.
Okay, yeah, let's see if we can bring that up in the early part of the Saturday meeting and start brainstorming some ideas, see what we can come up with. I could set up even a little mini server, possibly. If I have enough RAM, I could probably set up a mini server, and we could do it that way, too. So, anyway, lots of ideas. KJ6KDL.
All right, Dad. I think that's there's a lot to be done out there, and like I said, we still have about a month, so the time is running out. 30 days goes very quick. Appreciate that thought, and maybe you could explore that avenue, Jim, and I'll look at the other one also, just swapping out a file, see how that goes. Alrighty, anybody else out there? Before I hand it back to Mike for final, anybody out there, any other questions or suggestions? All right, nothing heard, and possibly in the near future here we'll be incorporating part of this with the RescueNet on another repeater. A lot of good information there, and combining this information of that where our efforts would apply out there, and their efforts will help us be working on merging a little segment on both of our nets there, which is about to begin on another repeater. Mike, anything in closing? Back to you. KF6Q.
Oh, not really anything of any major importance. Very good Tech Tuesday tonight. A lot of good information was put out. And anybody that is interested, this is probably the one of the most important meetings to come to if you're a field day buff or, you know, want to operate HF or have a lot of fun. You know, then Jim really would be a great great asset to the club if you would mention that with a server, and maybe we can get this nailed down and get it working, and it would make things a lot easier for everybody for fielding. That's about all. This is WB6CLZ and 73. Good evening to everyone. We're just going to listen out.
All right, Mike. Yeah, and I know that's something that Jim could handle very nicely, as he does that for a living. So let's get the pro in there. Let him show. Let him shine. All right. As we are, we once again appreciate everybody out there listening in and participating. Thought we'd just kind of sidestep and get something moving on Tech Tuesday about Field Day, as it is still 30 days away. Don't want to be crammed into the last week bringing up some suggestions, because late is not great, as they say. All right. And if anybody else has any other topic suggestions in the future, go ahead, feel free to email me, Tom Fry, KF6Q. Now my email is working at kf6q@arrl.net. They have reinstated that since I am now reading my QSTs. That's got to be the story of the year. Anyway, all right, QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday net. Closing the net at 2,000 hours and 1 minute, and returning the repeater to normal use. Thanking again everybody for participation, and y'all be careful out there. Stay dry and stay safe.